and we can stop and we can find a way to live in, and we have enough time. Like a monk, we don't have a lot of things, but we always feel that we have enough. And it's enough here is not material, but it's in our mind, because we can. The food is not cost a lot, and if we live a simple life, it's not cost a lot, you know, to live. But as you see, many rich people, and they're very rich, but they don't feel that enough. So in here, it's not enough. It's, you know. So when we feel that we have enough and we satisfy whatever we have, you know, like I know that many people, they don't have a lot, they're not rich, they have a simple life, but they're very healthy, and the mind and body is very healthy, and they're very happy, they have a happy life. Many people, we fulfill with the material, but we don't feel we're happy. But some people, they live very simple, and they don't have a lot. They're not rich like other people, but they're happy. And because they're happy, because they feel that they have enough, they have place to live, they have enough food to eat, they have the car to drive around, and the work, they have a job, and they feel that that job is enough for them to pay bill. So when you feel enough, you satisfy, and you don't crave, you don't go to buy a bigger house, and you don't buy a luxury car, and we don't, the material is simple, so you don't pay a lot of money, so you don't run, you don't put a lot of time to run after to get the material. Most of us run after materials. That's why we invest our time and our life satisfied for material, but it's never bring us anywhere. It's not bring us happiness, because we work a lot, 10 hours, 12 hours, and we don't have enough time to live, and we don't have the opportunity to come here to learn the Dharma and put into the practice. And if we learn the Dharma and we don't have time put into the practice, and that's why we always complain, I don't have time, I'm stressed out. But when you stop and you have enough, and you know that your job is bring a lot of joy, happiness too, because you know how to stop and you know how to enjoy work. It's just the method of the body movement. If you don't wash the dishes, you go walking. It's the same movement, right? But if you have a thought that, okay, I enjoy my washing my dishes, I have a hot water, I have water come to into the sink to wash my dishes, and the joy and happiness is born right away. But you have a thought that, oh, my child and my husband is not, they eat, but they left many things on the sink, and I have to wash my dishes, and the suffering, complaining is come up right away, and your mind occupied with the complaint and suffering. So it's up to you a lot. And if you learn the practice and you know the practice, and every moment in your daily life is a wonderful moment, even your job, driving the car, because you are 100% you are, you know. You enjoy driving the car, and you enjoy in-breath and out-breath, and you know that you're still alive, and you enlighten. Enlighten is mean that your mind and your body together, and you wake up, you're awakening in the moment, and you live your life. That we call enlighten. Enlighten, wake up and live your life. It's small enlightenment, but it's enlightenment, and what you're looking for. And that's what you have every day, you know, working, cooking, walking, go take a shower, go to the restroom. And if you not enjoy and you not awaken to, and you not happy, and where else you looking for your happiness? Because doesn't matter what, you like it or not like it, it still happen the same thing every day. 8 hour work at the job, going home, cook, and eating, and go restroom, brush your teeth, go back and forth. And the Buddha is doing the same too. Our teacher, Thich Nhat Hanh, our teacher doing the same too, you know? What he doing, he eat, he walk, he writing his book, he give a Dharma talk, but he enjoy to doing that, and he is alive to doing that. But we live in forgetfulness, and that's why we're suffering. and we complain, and we depressed. But if we awaken, and it's the livelihood, you know, it means that you waken up, you awaken, and to live your life. And if you are mindful, if you have insight, and you know what are you doing, and you don't ask the question anymore, you know that you kill the animal, and the animal suffering, and people kill you, you suffering. So you're not doing to that. You don't want people doing that to you. That's why you don't doing that to other people. That is already enlightened and already inside, and it bring compassion. Understanding right away, so it's not far away. So when we awaken, we have some small enlightened, a little enlightened, and we look life with different eyes, you know, not judgment or blaming or suffering anymore, but we really cherish what is given us.
How do you practice, Mother? At the monastery?
How do I practice?
Yeah. Do you practice together in a group or by yourself?
Okay, this is a very easy question.
What do you say? I would like to hear how you practice, Metta.
How I practice?
Yes.
I mean, for us to become a monk, in the first years, we really inspire. I mean, we aspire a lot, and our bodhicitta is very strong, and we really want to get enlightened, and we're looking for enlightenment, and something is very far away. And a beginner, we never thought that we had to awaken every moment of our life. You know, we always, okay, I sit in meditation, so I can get enlightened, but we not enjoy the sitting meditation during the sitting. And because years after years, and because we're doing the same thing every day, 5 o'clock, wake up, go to meditation hall, sitting, eating, every day is the same. And it get routine. I mean, for a couple of years or a couple of months, you really, you know, want to do that, because you think that if you do that and you get enlightened some in the future. But after years, maybe 3-4 years, and you get boring, you know. You say very boring, and you ask the question. Deep question. Some people after 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, and they leave the monastic life, because they say they feel that doing the same thing every day, you know, and they have enough. They have enough, but you, it's more than that, because when you wake up and you always give a beautiful thought, you know, like I say that, you wake up, morning at 5 o'clock, it's not easy, you know. And you wake up and you massage and you bring awareness, follow in breath and out breath, and make yourself fresh, you know. You, and the moment you wake up is the moment you practice and you enjoy life, and you come back your in breath and out breath, and you go to the, usually most of the monks, they get up and they sit at a little bit, maybe 5, 10, 15 minutes before they get up, because they really want to bring mindfulness, awareness, the mind back to the body, and you know, fresh before they get up. And so waking up and you give a beautiful thought, like you have 24 hours to live, and you vow to live fully in each moment, and looking at people with the eye of compassion. Every morning you wake up, you have to recite that gatha, and it's already bring some energy, you know, going in the day. And you go to the bathroom and you brush your teeth and wash your face, and you enjoy. And the, like I say, I share, the practice is happen every moment. You not wait until you get to the meditation. No, we not wait in that moment. We really enjoy brush our teeth, take our time. Usually we very rush. You want to do this finish and we can jump to another thing, you know. We always jumping like a monkey. So we learn and we train ourselves how to really take the deep in-breath and out-breath, and bring the mind back to the present moment, and to live fully, you know. You enjoy to doing that. You doing that not because you doing that. You doing that because you enjoy to doing that. You, even you go to the restroom, you, you know, and we have cup of tea, and we enjoy cup of tea, and we are fully whole, a cup of tea to enjoy, and we walk into the meditation hall, and we enjoy, we practice in each step. We walk to meditation hall, and we get to the meditation hall, we do sitting, and we establish fully, we are fully alive to do sitting meditation, and we enjoy every in-breath and out-breath, and we don't have a thought that sitting is get enlightened anymore. Sitting because we like to sit, walking because we like to walk. We're not thinking we reach to the destiny. We reach to the destiny in every step, and we know that every step is already arrived. It's not until you get to the place and you arrive. Life, also your life, also when every day we think that we're not dying, but we die every day. And when it's the body, you know, get old and sick, and it's just the final, because every day we, like, we start here, and here is the end of our life, and every day we go into near there. So we cannot fly like that, you know. So it's, if you know that every day you are dying, and this is just only the final destiny, so you enjoy your life, and you really want to do something, bring joy, happiness, some healing to your body, and you don't bring a lot of suffering, a lot of stress, a lot of depression to your body, and that's it's up to you how skillfulness you are manage your daily life. And don't wait until here, because until here, and you get old, your mind is not clear, and you are sick. And now we have a really clear mind. We understand what is the Titan Mark share, and we know how to make bring peace and joy in each step. So our practice in monastery it's the same thing every day. So just like you walk, you cook, and we have to walk, we cook, you clean the restroom, and we clean the restroom too. So, but we have the environment to do it, and we do it together. So the body is the movement of the body. If you don't cook, you go chop the vegetable. So, but we have a lot of idea why I have to do this, and that's the easy job, you know. But it's just a matter of movement of the body, you know. But the moment you accept it, that's the moment you are happy and you have joy. But you still blame you not accepting that. That moment, and you are suffering, and you are not ease with your body and your mind. It's always some irritation, you know, always some idea. So we're doing the same thing. What are you doing? We learning the same thing. What are you learning? So, but so lucky for us, we have environment to do it, and we do it together, and we support for each other. But if your family, your son, your father, I mean your husband, your mother, your father, do it together, just like a mini sangha in your family, and that family is bring joy, happiness to each other. They don't cause destruction or suffering to each other, because when we marry and we live together, we vow to bring joy, happiness to each other. We not vow to bring suffering and uneasy things for each other. So remember when you just met, you know, you have a big vow, a commitment to bring joy, happiness and together. So now, you know, sometimes you ask the question, why we married, you know? Are we married to bring suffering, or, you know, to each other, or we bring joy, happiness? So just create a mini sangha in your family. So, and we need that. We need the many families a model, you know, for this society. And this is my former wife. Right there.
I get that bow.
When I married her, we thought that bring a happiness family. But after my brother, he sent me some Dharma talk from our teacher, and I really fall in love with aspire a practice path, and I really want to do that. But after I ordained, she moved in, lived in Deer Park for 7 years. Yeah. So we practice together, and yeah, we share Dharma together.
You have one son and one daughter.
And son and daughter. Wow.
They're here, they're upstairs. Mm-hmm. They will meditate with us.
He asked us not to come down, but we did.
So if next Tuesday he will share it. Today is not prepared. This is instant
Dharma.
Instant insight.
I like it. That's so good.
It's good.
Do you have another question?
Yeah. Just one more part. Do you do I don't know how to pronounce it, but do you do the loving kindness meditation together, like may I be happy? Yeah. Do you do that one? And I was wondering what you say when you practice together or alone.
Yeah. In most of the monks, they when before they meditate, they give that thought, you know, like 1 or 2 minutes, they vow to be kind with the people who live with them, and because we live together and we cook together, that person cook for you. For of course we take turn to do the rotation, cooking, cleaning, and many things, you know. And we live a big community with the practice. That's why we don't have a lot of conflicts, you know, because we always want to be kindness with others, and we cherish them. And we always give that thought, you know, how wonderful that person still be with us. They cook for us, they practice together, and they do many things together, and they create a beautiful energy, a place. So we consider each other as not a brother, and we're very close. We share with materials, we share inside, and we share with many things. We're not individual, you know. We don't say that this is me. My suffering is nothing to do with you. We always encourage them. You know, you have suffering. Can you share your suffering with us so we can understand? So we won't repeat the same mistake again. So for you to suffering. So if they share and we have more awareness, we more mindful, so we respect that person, and we always have a lot of kindness to that person. Those people live around us, even the lay friends come practice with us, and we always pray with them with the compassion, kindness, energy. We always want that person to be healthy, to be go deep in the practice, and to be happy. And that's why we come together and we have live harmony. You know, in the family, like three people, but sometimes we're not harmonious. We have many conflict and we have a lot of suffering, but we live a big community. And everything we bring up into the table, you know, we solve the problem together. And we consider that we are just one body. I'm a hand, that person is a leg, and a ear, eyes. We consider that we as one body. So one part is hurt, is the whole Sangha is get hurt. So in the family, you don't say that, but it's the same. Something happened with your children or your husband, and you're suffering too, and you know, you feel that it's some part in you you know, hurt too. So but in the community, we bring that more awareness. We always aware that we are as one body, and we're not separate, and we help people. We help together, and you know, if you're good at Dharma talk, you give Dharma talk. And I'm cooking, you give Dharma talk, bring happiness to a lay friend. I'm cooking, bring happiness to a lay friend too. Because after they're hungry, they listen to Dharma talk, they need food to eat. So we're not like jealous, you know, you give a good Dharma talk. You know, myself, I don't give a good Dharma talk. You're a good cook, I'm not a good cook. We're not jealous like that. We consider that we are a family, and we are one body, and we always send the energy, peaceful energy, and a good energy to each other before we meditate. If we have something, a problem with that person, day and night, we want to practice so we overcome that, and we have compassion for that person. Because we live together, we want to look at each other with the understanding, with compassion. And we don't want to look at that person with the blame or judgment, because that will water the seeds, and that person know or not, but we are knowing that. And we are the first person to suffering if we look at that person with the judgment, blame, or, you know. So, thank you.
For myself, I think that compassion is the best medicines and the best healing for oneself and for our society today, and it's regardless of religions also. So I think it's the best medicine for self-healing and others' healing and our society, in my So every day you, I think, everybody should practice that. That is the best part of the practice. It's very juicy and very tasty. And because we have so much wounds in our heart, in our mind, body, and that is the best healing that we can have. Because you see that the our society today, we have pharmacologies and all that medicines create is just like very surfacing. It's very surface. It just heal you one spot and then create another spot in your body. It's just like some kind of replacements in your body. But healing and compassion is the love and kindness is the root healing for self, others, and society. And so you should put that in your practice every day, the moment that you opt. And day by day you cultivate that, day by day you plant the seeds, and it's getting stronger day by day, and it becomes an energy of living.
You know, our community, we share that with each other. You know, your brother is cooking for you every day, and be with you, practice with you. If you don't have compassion, if you cannot love that person, is very close to you and doing many good things for you, but if you don't have the capacity to love that person, so don't have a wishful thinking that you love those people come to here. You know, first you need to love those live around you, because you want it or not want it, they bring a lot of happiness, and they doing many good things for you. So you need to love the person very close to you before you reach far, you know. So we are not we give that thought, but we practicing the nearest. We're not send, you know. Of course we send the energy, but we need to practice in daily life and with those we live, you know. In the family, it's the same too. In your children, your husband, your people very close to you. If you cannot love them, and you say that you love other people, you know, that's just something you. So I think we can stop here. thank you very much. Thank you for listening.
Okay, so thank you, Tefo Piet, and thank you, every one of you. I've been. Sit and listen.